This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Hey, I'm Mark Dance, Director of Pastoral Development and Regional Ministry Partner for Oklahoma Baptist, and I have a couple of my good friends who also do pastoral ministry, and they do it on a national basis. David Ferguson is here from Austin, Texas, and welcome, David. Would you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, good to be here with you and Jared. It's good to hang out together. Austin, Texas. I'm the executive director of the Great Command Network and have been involved in pastoral care ministry for a lot of decades, beginning with trying to care for my own pastoral ministry early on. So it's been a fun journey.
Many of the pastors listening have participated. Many of the people in this Baptist building have been a part of one of the Galatians 6:6 retreats, and some 14,000 couples have been through that, ministry couples. Yes, you heard that right, 14,000 ministry couples. And I met you in my first year of pastoral ministry at Lifeway 6 years ago, but just a few weeks before I met you, I met Jared Pingleton, who also has a doctorate in psychology, and I met you, Jared, at Focus on the Family in beautiful Colorado Springs. And wow, just hit it off right away. Would you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. It's great to be with you guys again. It's been fun the last several years collaborating on a lot of things I think the Lord is directing us to do. And it's about serving people who are leading. And we're all broken. And yet, in this culture, it's very difficult for us to get permission to be real, to feel safe enough to be vulnerable, and to do that. And so, yeah, I'm a third-generation preacher and a shrink, and so been in practice, since 1977 in a variety of roles. Right now, I serve with the American Association of Christian Counselors out of Lynchburg, Virginia, as Director of Ministry and Mental Health.
Yes, and we've also collaborated on book projects together. There's so much that we're doing. They're here with us in the Baptist building for Care for Pastors Summit. And we have a lot of our friends coming here to be encouraged and equipped as we help pastors. And but you were part of the original Care for Pastors crew. And then a second podcast, we're going to meet the other original guy, Michael Lewis.
Oh, good.
Along with Jimmy Dodd. So, guys, tell us a little bit about what you think are the top three challenges that you've noticed this past year as for pastors in particular, but also for their families. What have you noticed to be the top three challenges? David, would you start?
Sure, be glad to. You know, I guess beyond just kind of the obvious anxiety and fear and uncertainties, I would probably put the word inadequacy on it. You know, if you just think about, there's a lot of analysis on leaders, and, you know, many would say that the majority of our leaders are somewhat programmatic. They're kind of paint by numbers. Give me the connect the dots plan, and I can work the plan. Well, there is no connect the dot plan for a global pandemic.
That's right.
You know, there's no roadmap. And so you feel kind of inadequate. What do I do now? So I think that's a big issue right now, which can lead to a lot of, you know, kind of self-blame. You know, why can't I figure out how to handle a global pandemic? You know?
Yeah.
Well, you've never been this way before. Right. You know, so like the Joshua 4 account, we better keep our eyes on the ark, so we've not passed this way before. So I think inadequacy is one of the challenges out there today, which gives us an opportunity, though, to provide some help, some enrichment, some opportunities to become more adequate. And our team is really excited about doing that over the last 10 months or so. So inadequacy, I think, is a real challenge.
Pastors are definitely answering their phones right now.
Yeah, they are.
And they're reaching out. And it is for Barnabases like us, it's kind of a target-rich environment. That's one upside to it.
Yep.
Jared, what do you think?
Well, I think that's absolutely right, David. And I think along with that come obviously the stress and the pressure of how to lead in this unprecedented time. I was talking with the head of our global denomination, and I said, you did go to that one class in seminary, right, on how to lead a denomination in a pandemic. And he chuckled because it real fear just grabs us by the throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people are looking to pastors for answers. And we don't even know all of the questions.
Yeah.
It's intimidating. Yep. It's stressful because there's this enormous burden. And then, oh, fun fact, when the economy crashes and there are millions of people unemployed, let's see, 10% of nothing is, nothing. So, you know, many pastors have had to struggle with how do we deal with the budget? Just basic survival, not just physiologically, but certainly organically and systemically as the church. How do we keep the doors open or the podcasts running or the, you know, the internet working to where we can live stream and do all of this? We've had to scramble. Now, I love the creativity that so many leaders have been able to pivot from traditional ministry delivery to being able to do it electronically or, you know, remotely. But I know that's a struggle because pastors are people.
Right.
And for them to sit behind a camera or, you know, a video or that kind of thing, I think that's been hard on them. Mm-hmm. And so where do they go for their stress? And then how do they deal with their marriage and family? You know, those are issues that do set the stage pretty ripely for burnout potentials, I think. Yeah. And so we see, again, demands, pressures, stresses that are unprecedented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just following up on what Jared mentioned, you know, our team put together about 3 months ago a course, six-week session course called Hope-Filled Living in Turbulent Times. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's got a lot of positive psychology roots in it, Jared, that basically says you can't be hopeful and fearful at the same time.
That's right.
That's good.
So if we can continue to stir up hope, you know, and make that a very intentional practice. So we've got all kinds of denominational leaders then facilitating these groups of their pastors. And one of them will be here with us from Florida, who just took about 30 of his pastors through it. And he said all of their families were on the Zoom calls, and we had adult children on the Zoom calls.
Great.
And we're getting hope back into the families,
yeah.
you know. And one of the practical things we did, and I think you've maybe been on one of our Care for Pastors calls, we did it, Mark, where we just simply had everybody share on Zoom this question: on the other side of the pandemic, I'm looking forward to what?
Yeah, that was a good question.
You know, and you can just feel the hope begin to reshape the emotionality of the leaders and move them out of fear.
That's
so a lot of challenges out there today, but a lot of hope.
There is. And I similarly was led to develop some curriculum with our denomination. I called it Coping with COVID in Crisis. And so one of the things that I discovered in the brain science, along those same lines, it's impossible neurologically to worry and worship at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
The human brain cannot do it.
Yeah.
And so let's see, which of those would we prefer? Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
And so turning people, their heart toward worship as opposed to worry sounds easy, but I think it really is something that pastors can get a hold of and facilitate. Yeah. I think it the ripple effects of that are just marvelous.
Yeah.
So,
I asked pastors in particular what their three top prayer requests were. This was almost anecdotal because it was social media. So this is straw poll. This is not hard research. The greatest answer by far was wisdom, because you're right. They don't know what to do.
Right.
And we're caregivers, and we like to fix things. And we're also, most pastors are men. And, you know, so our identity's tied to our vocation, all those kind of things. So the second one after wisdom was rest. As this pandemic, politics, protests, everything just, there's no exit ramp. And there seems to be false exit ramps. And so the hope sometimes, we get our hopes up, and they come back down. And so eventually it seems that pastors are saying, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
And we know all society is exhausted, but we're here to talk about pastoral care.
Sure.
And so I wonder if you could speak into how we can maybe help pastors and see signs of burnout before it's too late.
Sure. And I think we have to always look at the context. You know, one of the passages the Holy Spirit directed me to in that presentation series was Habakkuk 3. You know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, you know, verses 16, 17, and 18. And I'd never seen that the whole focus there is the joy comes from worship. Though there's no food, you know, no no fruit, no vegetables, no dairy, no meat. I will rejoice in God my Savior. It's like Shazam. How does that work? Yeah. So to me, that's the ultimate self-care, is which we have to do when we're in burnout. And that's be in touch with reality.
Okay.
There is no food. We will die if God doesn't miraculously supply. And, you know, I've often thought, you know, what would it be like to be a minor prophet? Those guys must have had inferiority struggles. You know, and nobody names their kid Habakkuk or Obadiah or Zephaniah. Seriously? Those Daniels and Isaiahs, shucks, all those kids get named.
Those names are already taken, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody names their kid after a minor prophet. And I think a lot of times in ministry, we struggle with feeling that, that, you know, I'm not a big name guy.
Yeah.
Back to your identity. You nailed it. That identity issue that our culture teaches us as men to derive our sense of worth from what we do or what we are perceived as doing. And that's just not heaven's economy. That's not God's scale.
Yeah.
We need to bloom where we're planted and fulfill that which we're called to do. And that is, I think, Habakkuk's takeaway. He's not in denial about the fear that's going to grab you by the throat.
Yeah.
But he's saying, I'm going to determine in my heart to glorify God with all of my being.
Yeah.
And that's how it signs off. We don't know the end of the story.
His gratitude
leads
me to a question for Dr. Ferguson, because in addition to hope, this year, Great Commandment Network's focused on gratitude. It's been very intentional. Can you lay out why you're drawing us back to that based on that text and just how that helps a pastor from just going down this spiral?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, just going back to the biblical examples, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, in the New Testament, Paul would talk about, you know, as he describes all the various trials and tribulations he has gone through.
Yeah.
And you can almost have hear him from time to time having to answer what sustains you through all that you've gone through, and he describes it as the constraining love of Christ, never getting over the wonder that you've been loved, and so that's another thing. Again, just neurologically, you can't be grateful and fearful at the same time.
That's good.
And so there's that sense of counting those blessings. And, you know, so we've got a lot of folks that are doing Journal of Gratefulness, you know, to just basically say, I'm going to go hunting for blessings today.
Yeah, awesome.
And I'm going to journal them. And I'm going to give thanks for them. I'm going to give testimony to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up in the morning. We got a lot of pastors. We've been saying, you know, just get up in the morning and during your devotional time after you've been with the Lord, just kind of set and just flip through your contact list on your phone. And simply say, who on there needs a text this morning? And just let them know I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm praying for them.
Yeah.
And so you, out of gratitude, you begin to think beyond yourself. And that, as Jared would tell you, is one of the best ways out of burnout, is to begin to take your eyes off yourself and begin to help and care for other people.
Yeah.
And so we got a lot of folks that are, you know, they just spend the time. I've got some good friends that are always up in the middle of the night like I am, about 5 a.m. in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. So we got a lot of texting going on with my network of friends at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, just that's encouraging one another during these times to kind of stir up that gratitude and that constraining love.
I'd like to formally request to stay outside that circle of friendship. I want to be in a different circle.
You want to be a little later circle?
Another circle would be fine. I talked to a pastor this morning who was... it's a safe place to vent. That's what we do, right? But he has the angst that a lot of pastors have of focusing on who's not in the room. Since roughly half of our people are not in the room on Sundays, and it's hard to see the ones, and it's hard to determine for sure how many are watching, or even how many are watching each screen. And so as he was thinking about this and comparing to last year, pre-COVID attendance, I just told him, and I'd like to say this to all the pastors and church leaders, regardless of what you're called on the org chart, if you're a pastor, you know it. But you need to throw away the scorecard.
That's for sure.
Because it's not fair. It's not realistic.
No.
And your gratitude and your hope, all the things that we're talking about will just diminish. And not only thank God for those who are in the room, but those who are safely sheltering at home because their doctor says or their family says, and many of them are still sending their money. Some of them are sharing the services online. They're doing what they can. Be thankful for them, right, is what I told them. And also just don't second guess yourself constantly, because I see that as a problem. We're getting second guessed by our church members. Whatever decision we make, someone's going to disagree with.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I've sort of heard.
And, human nature, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you can't really control that. But no. You can control second guessing yourself constantly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called locus of control, as we would say, right?
It is.
Control what you control, and leave alone what you can't control.
That's good.
You know. So the idea that I can get up and worship the Lord. I can get up and be grateful.
Yeah.
And I think the point you're making there, Mark, is one of the contributors to burnout in pastors, no doubt about it, because they're holding on to old metrics.
Yes.
And so we got to reset some metrics. So a little bit, we're throwing out a few things like connection is as important as content today. See, a lot of our pastors kind of were trained with, man, if I'm just giving them good content every week, I'm all good.
Right.
All right. We're starving for connection. That's what brought dozens and dozens of us to Oklahoma City here from all over the country to want to connect.
That's right.
Right. So our people are wanting to connect. So you talked about encouraging that pastor, hey, let's get a phone network going and let's call some of these people. Let's connect with these people.
Yeah.
It's a new day. And yet if we will take initiative to address that, it'll make all the difference in the world.
Mm. That's good.
Well, it will, because that discouragement of the numbers being down, I think, again, as pastors, we're trained to, evangelistically speaking, compete with the size of our denomination or church or fellowship or ministry initiative, all those things. And when we understand a biblical model, we're being pruned, which is cause for rejoicing because we know that facilitates growth in ways that aren't necessarily numerical, but are certainly spiritual. And so to do that connection, I think, David, is so key. Thank you so much. And yet I think so many pastors don't feel safe to do that. That big room where the church traditionally met was called the sanctuary.
Where we used to go.
Safe place. How many churches are safe? Mm-hmm. In our book we talked about, there are four things that keep us from being able to be safe, and that's, the silence, the secrecy, the shame, and the stigma when we're struggling with our issues, our relationships. And I had an angelic visitation this morning on the plane here. Truly,
this is a Baptist.
Truly,
podcast.
I know a lot of Bapticostals though, man. So this is a true story. I was very discouraged on some issues personally that I've been kind of wrestling with God about over the last couple of weeks, and then I found out this morning that I had a huge theft happen. I lost an enormous amount of money this morning, and it's irretrievable. I mean, it's gone. I'm grieving. And so I'm reading Mark Batterson's new book I got in the mail Saturday called Win Each Day or Win Every Day or Win a Day at a Time. It's a great book. And so this lady across the aisle from me in the plane is wearing a verse from Psalms on her mask, and I complimented her on it. And then she goes, "Are you a pastor? I noticed you're reading that book." I go, "Well, yeah." So we kind of talked a little bit. And she hands me this card, okay?
This is your angelic visit coming. I can
this
see
is it.
It. Coming.
"Therefore, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain."
That's good.
And I think we all need that.
Amen.
I know I did.
Yeah,
I needed that encouragement, that infusion of energy. And I said that to her. I said, "You will never know how this has touched my heart and soul." And I said, "And I'm doing a podcast this afternoon for some pastors that I know this is for as well."
Yeah.
That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. True story. There it is.
That's great.
I stuck it in my wallet.
You just encouraged some folks there. Well, we're out of time, but as we pray, I'm going to ask David to pray for the pastors in Oklahoma and just ask God to refresh them. We need that fresh wind of God right now. And you're an encourager to me. I want to thank you for that. You mean a lot to me. So would you pray for our pastors?
Glad to do it. Father, we are grateful now that we can pause and we can give you thanks for the servants that you have called to lead your people. And we pray for them, Father, that there would be a ministry of the comforting work of the Holy Spirit and during the challenging, stress-filled, health challenge times we're in. But there also be, as Jared talked about, those times we turn aside and we, as the saints in Acts did, we worship the Lord.
Yes.
And as we worship the Lord, the Spirit of God said unto Paul and Barnabas, might we turn aside and worship and have the Holy Spirit speak to us that we might have wisdom. Just as Mark says, there's a critical need for wisdom in these days.
Yes.
And so we pray for that, those times of personal worship that would lead to wisdom in how we would lead, and that we might keep our eyes upon the ark. We might keep our eyes upon thee because we've not passed this way before. And yet in the midst of that, we can know that if we will stand firm, that we will have those experiences of life and life abundant, that we will see a pruning turn into much fruit.
Yes.
I believe that for these who lead here in Oklahoma and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Pinkleton. Thank you, Dr. Ferguson.
Amen.
My pleasure, Mark.
Amen.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.